Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky joining us this morning. And Mike, our condolences, the loss of your beloved mother.
Thanks, Greg. She had a pretty good life, pretty long life, and we believe that she avoided God taking her home at this time. She avoided the fate of my grandpa, her dad, who spent 9 years in a serious state of Alzheimer's and just didn't recognize anybody. And right up to the last minute, Mom, you know, recognized all of us and could talk a little bit, but and then she had basically an aneurysm in the middle of the night, and so she didn't suffer. But thank you very much for those words.
So back to work, Mike?
Yeah, as soon as I finish this call with you, sir, I'm getting into my car and driving to Lansing, and we've got lots of things to work on for the next 2 to 3 weeks. So,
see, the governor wants $100 million for relief. I'm sure everybody wants a relief package. I guess the question is, where do you get the money?
Well, it's even a more fundamental question than that. I mean, we want to spend taxpayer money to help people who are suffering because government told them they couldn't work. And there still is not anywhere near the level of proof to me that picking on movie theaters, bowling alleys, and restaurants, the restaurants being the largest one, of course, had any kind of science behind it whatsoever. I am not in any way denying that we have a very fast-acting spread of this virus in our communities and in our state. But I am challenging the notion that it can be affected by unilaterally shutting down an entire industry that have done everything we asked them to do in terms of providing for a safe environment. And so I guess the Christmas spirit has gotten into the governor even, and she's, wanting to sprinkle money around. We're gonna have a hearty conversation about it. It might even start today.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there's just a lot of questions revolving around it that deserve very detailed analysis. Working on other ways to relieve the pressure in hospital systems that are being, continuing to be tested in the capacity. And one of them is enabling people who think they may have been affected. They've been tested, but they're waiting now for giving them the instruments and giving them the information and giving them the support needed to be calm at home while that is underway. And I mean, we're discovering that the mental anguish associated with this insidious virus is every bit as dangerous as the physical anguish that it causes. And so that's going to be top of our list of a debate and considerations this week as well.
We're hearing, Mike, really flat out fear from the frontline workers, doctors, nurses, all of them.
Yep. I understand it. I've been following it as closely as anybody can follow it. And we have an obligation here to evaluate. We got to be careful. We don't do something that is just easy to do. We have to know, at least have some assurance that we've processed it in a way that we have confidence it'll have an effect. And I understand when you're in a leadership role, regardless of the situation, and you see a problem occurring with the people that you're supposed to be leading, and you want to fix it, you have this visceral desire to want to fix it. But sometimes actions either don't have the consequences and the effect that we want, or they could even have negative effects, all driven by the desire to want to fix it. And this is where, it's why it's dangerous to jettison the legislative process, the debate process, the committee process, the arguing back and forth and letting people test assertions and stuff. And as long as it's continuing to be done, frankly, behind closed doors in the department or between the department and the governor, I think that we're susceptible to. And notice I'm not saying any words about nefarious intentions. I believe that the people have the right intentions, but I don't think, I think that the need to act needs to be mitigated enough to actually process the options so we don't do something that's is either has a negative effect or has no effect.
Well, lawmakers should be part of the process, right?
Yes, indeed. And not solely, but part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, we represent, we're the closest representation to the people that sent us to serve, and you know, we still are held at arm's length in most of these decision processes.
Even the committee the governor named, Mike, when the Supreme Court made their ruling, did that kind of cut that committee out or no? Do they play a role?
How many legislators are on that committee?
I don't know. Zero.
None. Zero.
Yeah. No.
So, again, I'm very careful here. I'm not casting aspersions. I'm just saying that it's really important that it's important, even in my, just take my simple world. When I make a decision in the role that I have, I need people around me to challenge and test and push back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just don't see that. I don't see that happen.
So
I don't mean to cast a, you know, I don't want to leave you with disturbed or deflected this morning, but we have, this is the real world we're living in, and we're experiencing this all together. I continue to emphasize that we all know what to do to protect ourselves and our families and coworkers and stuff, and please do them with as highest level of discipline as possible. But I just don't think that we can put our finger on, well, let's just shut down this industry and see if we move the needle. I think that is just doesn't pass the logic test.
Mm-hmm. So, Mike, the election, you have problems. You don't think it's over.
So what we got here is we're in a tough spot. We're in a very tough spot. We have people coming forward, signing affidavits, basically under oath, saying, this is what I saw, this is what I observed, this is all, you know, in the aggregate, very disturbing. And they do this under the potential of you know, a perjury or worse, lying under oath. And yet we don't see much pushback on the other side. And there's a few lingering questions that I believe still need to have answers for. And there's a couple of suits that were submitted to our Michigan Supreme Court middle of last week that I believe our court is right now wrestling with as to whether they take them up. And I've had the privilege of being able to read them, and they represent the essence of most of the serious allegations and concerns. And I'm just hoping that the court makes a decision this week to take them up and help us process these questions. And so therefore, there's no way that I am going to, break Michigan's laws. I'm not going to propose that we redirect electors. That's just not in the cards.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a very bad choice. But I do think that we need to continue to still test the process and test the claims that are being made and get to a point where we can all look at ourselves and say, yeah, we've tested all those and it doesn't seem to pass the test of proving that we have a invalid election. But until that happens, you know, we're going to have this cloud of doubt over our country and over our state. We got half. It's basically divided in half. We got half the people in Michigan and half the people in the nation that are on one side and half on the other. And regardless of the outcome, somebody's going to be disappointed. And so I think it's an obligation on all of our parts to, be patient and let the process play out. I'm hoping a couple of courts actually take up a couple of suits and have cross-examination, which is really what's needed. Right now, all we've seen is one side. We need to see the other side too. And so, for those reasons, I'm not challenging the certification of Michigan. But I am suggesting that we've got further research and further investigation to do across the nation.
What's the biggest question that needs to be answered?
Well, there's a few of them.
What's the most troubling?
Yeah, I guess, you know, the couple of the most troubling ones to me are, how did we have these dramatic early mornings between, you know, 2 and 6 o'clock in the morning on the following day, these dramatic dumps of ballots that had extreme disproportionate results in them, meaning that the ballots were distributed disproportionately compared to what the general election ballots were. That's something that I think somebody has got to show how that could happen. And right now, it's statistically very, not impossible, but very improbable. And so getting to the bottom of that is, I think, very important to calm people's minds that it was not a problem. And then I've seen a couple times now where reports from the election results on not percentage of distribution of votes, but actual reports on votes, number of votes, where they're reported in fractions. And that's just enough of a question for me to say, wait a minute, there's no fractional vote. It's either a yes or a no. It's a Biden or a Trump. It's not a 0.2 or 0.4. And those are examples of the kinds of things that we just need to be able to wrestle down to the ground and maybe prove to ourselves that they're not issues. They may be just frailties of some of the systems, but not necessarily fraud. But right now, they're enough that causes me to, you know, want to continue to investigate.
Interesting. So you believe the court will make some kind of decision this week?
I'm hoping our court, Michigan Supreme Court, makes a decision this week to, you know, open up one of these suits and just explore it. And they are uniquely positioned and uniquely privileged and uniquely skilled to be able to do so in a, you know, what I believe would be a very fair and judicial way, prudent way. And, you know, something that it's hard to do in the legislature in a committee meeting. It's hard to do in a, you know, and obviously hard to do in a, you know, in a public conversation. And I think our state and nation need it so that people can start seeing that there, you know, these questions have been analyzed and can start continuing to slowly increase our confidence in the outcome.
Anything to get it over with. Mike, thanks for the visit.
I know. All right, Greg. Have a great day, sir.
Appreciate it. Take care.
Yep. Bye.
Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky.